The following talk is from St. Michael's Fulwell, a gospel-centered community for Fulwell, Teddington, and beyond. Our passion is to see every life following Jesus. For more information, visit our website, stmichaelsfulwell.co.uk.
And if you've got an order of service, do pick this up, because we're going to turn now to our reading, which is from Matthew chapter 2 in a few moments' time. James Bunyan, who's on the staff team here at St. Michael's, is going to come and speak from Matthew 2. But first, Steph is going to come and read.
Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Good to see you. My name's James. I'm the curate here. And I think what we get as presents at Christmas says a lot about us. It tells us what we're like. I know you're all very interested. I got a stack of books this morning. I basically just got books, which was great. It shows that I like to sit on my own and not talk to anybody for hours on end. Why don't you turn it to the neighbour and say, what did you get for Christmas this morning and what does it say about you? Why don't you have 2 minutes, talk to the person next to you. Fantastic, let's come back in. I think what you get as a gift to you says a lot about you, or at least says a lot about what people think about you. Now this is how the story that we've just had read finishes, and it finishes with Jesus, the baby Jesus, getting gifts. Listen to this. On coming to the house, the wise men saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures, and they presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, what do those three gifts say about Jesus? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Let's take each one in turn. The first one is gold. The first one is gold. The first present that Jesus got was gold. Now, who has gold? Well, if we go to the next slide, I think the people who have gold are pirates. Pirates have gold, don't they? Maybe he's a pirate. Or the modern-day equivalent, next slide, bankers. Bankers have gold, don't they? But maybe it's the next one. Next one is the king. The king has lots of gold, doesn't he? The king has a gold crown and a gold stick called a scepter and a golden orb. And if you go to the Tower of London, about 15 miles away, you can see all this gold that the king has. The gold is for a king. What they're saying is that by giving this present to Jesus, they're saying, Jesus, you are the king. Jesus is the king. Now, there's lots of people in this country who are in charge of us. If we go to the next slide, you have got Richmond Council are in charge of this area. They can tell you what to do. They can tell you, for instance, this month to pay 2 parking tickets and reject your appeal. But I'm okay with it. That's fine. Merry Christmas. The next one is a judge. There's a judge in this country. A judge can tell you what to do. And if you decide not to pay one of your parking tickets, for instance, you might get a letter from the judge telling you to do so. The judge can tell you what to do. The third person is Keir Starmer. Keir Starmer is even more important. If I really didn't want to pay a parking ticket, for instance, I could write to Keir Starmer. I might not hear back, but he is the most in charge. And then there's also the king who he doesn't do much these days in terms of being in charge, but he is supposedly in charge of the whole country. You've got a whole layer of people. But when we say Jesus is king, we're actually saying he's king in a different way from all these people. He's not elected. He's not human. He's actually not a political figure. He's not in charge of running the country and doing taxes. If we go to the next slide, Jesus is a king unlike all the other kings. And the Bible says that's for two reasons. First of all, Jesus is God who came down to earth. So he has all the power that God has. It's a different kind of power. And secondly, Jesus is the only person in history who, though he died, rose again from the dead. He says all the power in life goes to Jesus. Jesus is king unlike anybody else, if we go to the next slide. So what that means, the Bible says, is we need to listen to Jesus and do what he says. That's the slightly controversial thing the Bible says about King Jesus, is that when King Jesus tells us to do something in the Bible, we should do it. He says this on the slide, "If you love me, keep my commands." He's the only person who can say that. No one else can say that in the same way. So that's the first gift. Gold, if we go to the next slide, for a king. If I say gold, can you say for a king? Ready? Gold. Louder, gold. Now do it slow motion. Gold. Very good. That was very slow motion in the front. Gold for a king. Next one is, the next present he was given is frankincense. That's a funny word. Next slide. It's not this guy, Frankenstein. Next slide. It's not the Frankish king, Charlemagne. I was struggling. It's not even this person, the third person. Do you know who that is? Frank Butcher, very good. No, your 80s EastEnders. I was really scraping the barrel with Franks. It's not Frank Butcher, it is frankincense. Now, frankincense was used in the temple. So in Jerusalem, where God's symbolic presence was, there was a huge curtain, and people weren't allowed to go behind the curtain, and in front of the curtain, people burned frankincense, and it smells really, really good. And it shows you that God is in that place. By giving frankincense to this baby, the wise men are saying, this baby is God. He is God come to live with us. Now, here's the controversial bit. It's not just a God, the Bible says. Jesus isn't just one God of many. Back in the day, there were lots of different gods you could choose from. The Bible's not saying that. It's saying, no, saying the God who made heaven and earth, who is in charge of everything, has come to be a little baby. That's surprising, isn't it? When you see a baby, you've got to be very gentle. You don't want to wake them up. They need their sleep all day so they can stay awake all night. They need their mummy to feed. They're very, very gentle. And yet God, the Bible says, came to be a baby. And he is the God. It's not like this. So if you go to the next slide, for the last 10 years, Johnny has worked at church. And Johnny and I have been friends. We hang out. We go to staff meeting together. We do lots of fun things. And we're friends. But when someone else joined the staff team, this is Toby, I didn't say, Johnny, I can't be your friend anymore. I've got to be friends with Toby instead. Do you know what? I'm friends with Johnny and I'm friends with Toby. And in fact, Johnny and Toby are friends with each other too. And I'm sure lots of other people on the staff team are friends, but I couldn't fit them on the slide. You can keep adding friends and have loads of friends. But here's the next slide. It's not like that when I got married. This is a picture of my wife and I. I'm the one on the left. And when I got married, I had to be very careful and I had to make a really good choice because I couldn't marry another one if I didn't like this one. You have one wife, and you have that one wife for your whole marriage. You don't add more. The Bible says that following Jesus is like being married, not like being friends. That actually he becomes number one in our lives. Jesus said the most important command of all the commands in the Bible is this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. You've got to love God more than anything. He needs to become your obsession. People need to be able to tell with your time and energy and money that you love God. And Jesus, that baby, come to live with us, is God. In fact, he said this to his disciples, if we go to the next slide. He stood up in the marketplace one day, a full crowded room, and he says, I and God the Father are one. We are one. I and God the Father are one. So, this time, when I say frankincense, can you say for God? Okay, frankincense. Very good. Go to the next slide. Gold. Stayed awake. Frankincense. Very good. And the third present is myrrh. Now, this present is a very unusual present indeed. This is a strange present because myrrh is what you use for dead bodies. It's what you use as a perfume to look after bodies before you put them in a grave. That is a very strange present. It's almost an inappropriate present to give to a baby, to someone who's just been born. It's like saying that this baby is destined one day to die. I was reading in one of my history books, not one of the ones I got for Christmas, but a different one, about a man who was British and he went to be a soldier in India. And when he was in India, he arrived and he got really sick. And lots of people 200 years ago when they went to India got quite sick. And he got sick and the doctor said, I'm really sorry to say, but you're going to die. So you need to make a will and buy a coffin. So he did those things and he got delivery of the coffin and then he got better. And apparently you can't refund. That's what the book says. You can't refund. It's made to measure. So he didn't know what to do. So he turned this coffin into a wardrobe. And he had a wardrobe in his bedroom everywhere that he went that was a certain shape. Now, I think that's a little bit strange. I wouldn't like furniture like that. And you know that every time you get a sniffle or a cough, you look up and there in the corner is something that's almost beckoning to you. And that's a strange gift to have. Jesus was given myrrh, a bit like this man had a coffin. And that's because the Bible says that Jesus the baby would become Jesus the man. That although he would live an amazing life of kindness and goodness to other people, the Bible says the most kind thing he would do is die on the cross. That he was executed, but the Bible says that when he died, he took all the sins and all the sorrows, all the wrong things that we do and all the ways that we turn away from God, he took it upon himself and he died on the cross. And he destroyed all of the sin. What was it Ed said earlier? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. In fact, he said this to his disciples on the screen. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. What he's saying is that he loves us in a way that nobody else loves us because he alone can take all the sins and sorrows of the world and take them on himself. So, when I say myrrh, can you say for a dead man? Myrrh?
For a dead man.
Nice and loud. Myrrh?
For a dead man.
Gold?
For a king.
Frankincense?
For
and myrrh?
For a dead man.
Very good. Those are the three gifts. Now, what about us? What does this do for us? Well, the Bible says that the baby Jesus is the gift that is given to you and I. That God gave a precious gift to us in his own son. And what that says about us is that we are loved. You and I this morning, we are loved. Because God gave us a really, really precious gift. A king to rule us. A God to be with us. And a dead man to die for us. This present says that we are loved. In fact, a famous verse in the Bible puts it like this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not die, but have eternal life. You and I are loved. As I finish, think about those three things. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, I talk to a lot of people about kind of Christianity and church because that's my job and also I like doing it. And often when I talk to people, we talk about the fact that God gives himself as a gift in Jesus, in the baby Jesus. And I often hear people saying, that is amazing that God would give such a gift to me. Imagine if someone you saved up for months to buy the perfect Christmas present for your friend, and it's cost you dozens of pounds, and you kind of put it together and you wrap it beautifully and you give it to them, and they take it and they say, thanks, but no thanks. And they put it down on the side without opening it. Well, I talk to lots of people about Christianity, and they'll often say to me, look, I can't quite believe that God would give me such an important and precious gift. Who am I, they say, to accept such a thing from God? I mean, lots of people who hear about Christianity and hear about church things and maybe even come to church very regularly and know all the answers, but they say, look, I can't accept this gift. It's too good. To which I would say, that's fair enough. But on the other hand, who are you to say no thank you when God wants to give you such a gift? Why don't I pray for us, and then Ed will come and carry on our service. Father God, we thank you so much for this precious gift that you have given us in Jesus, the King, God himself, a dead man. We thank you that he gave himself, and that shows us that we are very, very loved. We pray and ask that we would know your love this Christmas. Amen.